I have to say it is an honor for me to welcome Reverend Dr. Cody Collier this morning. He is our district superintendent for the Heartland South District. And for those who don't know, we are the southernmost church in the Heartland South District. And he just loves to come here, right? Because he knows it's the end of the road for him. No, I'm just kidding. But Cody is a dear friend. When Jamie and I first went into ministry, he was our district superintendent at that time, and we're blessed for the last 6 years to have had him here in the Heartland South District as well. He has probably as much as anyone else formed and shaped my ministry, and I just give God praise for Cody. And I've been working for a long time to get him here to preach, and so I am really excited today, Cody. I thank you so much for coming. Please welcome Reverend Collier this morning.
Good morning, beautiful people.
Good morning.
It's a joy to be with you on this great day. I am, first of all, just thankful for the wonderful leadership you have in the life of this church and for the vision and spirit of your pastor, Eric Dirks. Amen? I want you to pause and just give thanks for him and the wonderful team you have this morning. How would you say thank you to them this morning? Let me hear you. Yes. Now, it is my understanding that you have been talking about marriage and relationships. And although this may not be the basic theme of that, it certainly has implications for the message today. And that is, for guys, there are three letters that are really scary for them in relationships. Those three letters are DTR. Anybody know what that is? DTR, determine the relationship. It means that when you have dated for a while, that then that very significant person looks and says, where are we going in this relationship? Is it serious enough that we can now determine that this is a serious relationship that would then ultimately go toward marriage? And for some guys, that's just great. And for others, DTR, not right now. Hold up. That's one level of thinking about determining your relationship with that very special person. But today is about DTR, determining your relationship with Jesus Christ. And how serious are you in terms of that relationship and that union? That I want to suggest that if you don't have that right, it won't make any difference who you're married or who you relate to. Because Jesus needs to be at the center of all relationships that determines whether or not you'll make it or whether you'll just go through the motions. Now, this past week, the world, or shall I say the United States at least, heard these very important words happening. It said, my dear Americans, the referees are now officially back. Thank you, Lord. And in that sounding, it was the voices and the determination of the fans that ultimately got the NFL to say, okay, we're going to work on a $3.3 million plan for them to have pension each year. That was the argument. The fans tweeting, writing, and voicing said, you better get this together, because what these other replacement officials are doing are really tearing up football altogether. There is something about a fan that is really unique. There are fans this morning, I'm sure, in some sports. How many fans are here for the Chiefs today? How many for the St. Louis Rams? Yeah, I kind of thought there'd be a few. How about KU? Kansas State. Missouri. I had a feeling. Yeah. Arkansas, Alabama, All right. Make sure we get it going. Fans. And all of us are a fan. Whether it's the team right here in town. All of us. It could be football, it could be baseball, it could be also soccer. But we're all fans, and fans have a way of really driving you either excitingly ways in which of seeing life with a cheerful mode, or you can be a fan who's just mad all the time. Fans are fickle often because fans are with a team as long as they're doing well, but when they're not doing well, we're not that happy. I want to say fans are crazy. I see folks sitting out in 0-degree weather watching a game. Some come with RVs and they're cooking meals with friends. They're outside watching the game from their television outside instead of even buying a ticket on the inside. It's crazy. And then the dress for some. You've seen how some will wear all kinds of stuff and phenalia. Right now you can buy all kind of red, from underwear to pajamas to t-shirts to all forms of being a Chief for this next year. And whether or not the Chiefs win or lose, folk have got their red. In fact, the school system even had a red day. Unbelievable. And all of this red is determined upon how the fan feels good about the team. And fans, I've discovered, as I say, when the team is going well, we'll cheer and yell and support. But when the team's not doing well, then blame the coach. Use sometimes language. I mean, get upset about the team as they're playing. Fans will talk in ways that sometimes you wonder what kind of fan they are, but they're wishy-washy. They go back and forth. They will support the team while they're doing well, but then are very upset when they're not. Fans can also look a lot like the folk in church. And when the church really has an event or an activity or something they're a part of, or something that they enjoy in worship, they'll cheer it on. But the minute something doesn't go well, or doesn't go the way they want it to go, or not in charge of something, or don't like that. Now, I know you all don't have that problem here. I've been talking about other churches. But then we don't cheer as much. Because too often as fans, we admire the work, but we're not committed to it. And the question I ask you today in the relationship of being determined here at Warsaw is that, are you really a fan who really enjoys bringing your Bible, enjoys coming to the activities, loves to have dinner, has a good time, loves the music, loves everything as a fan, but are you a follower who will, beyond the fan status, share the love of Jesus Christ and show the marks of one who follows? Followers are determined relationships that really resemble not so much those who are up and down about faith. They are in it for the run, to the finish, to the goal. They don't worry so much about how much time they've got. They don't worry about what the team looks like. They don't worry about all the things being together. They just say, we're in this. Let's go. They're saying, high five. Let's get this going. They follow. Jesus finds himself in the multitude. And as he's beginning to think about this journey that is just about finishing, he looks at you and I, he looks at his team, and he says, team, have I got fans here or have I got followers? I want to know something. First of all, tell me on the street, who do they say that I am? What's going on here? Some say you're like that John the Baptist, you're the best preacher in town. Some say you are prophetic, you're like a prophet. You have those words. Boy, it's so good. And then he turns it on them. Jesus has a way of just turning things on you. Really hitting you right here. But who do you say that I am? In other words, he wants to know, what is our relationship? How do you identify me in your life? How do we do this ministry together? What does it say about our relationship? And as he gets to telling them what's about to happen about his death, but also rising again in 3 days, there's that one bold person in the church who came up and said, that great Peter gets his foot in the mouth every now and then. He says, wait a minute, stop all this death talk. You know we want you as the king. You're the Messiah. You're going to live forever. We don't want any of this kind of stuff about dying stuff. No, no, no. And then Jesus has to stop and say, wait a minute. You got to slow it down, Peter, and realize that what I'm about to do is really God's agenda. It's not yours. And he gets him to the point that he has to remind him that if he's going to be a follower, he's got to do more than be a good fan with him. He's got to do more than just say, I like being with Jesus. I like hanging around. I like this place. I just love doing the things here. But it's got to talk about more than that. It's got to be, what are you willing to give? What is your commitment? So, a real follower this morning is what I'm talking about. Moving beyond your admirations and enjoyment of church, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to follow? And he hits with several very familiar team-like plays. What is it to follow Jesus? It means, first of all, you deny yourself. That means you are willing to make some sacrifices and you understand you're not in charge. It's not you-centered, but Christ-centered. I'm reminded of a boy who found himself one day coming home late every day, and it got worse and worse. And his mom said, son, what's wrong with you? We live less than a block away. Why is it taking you so long to get home? He says, cars. Cars? What do you mean, cars? Well, every single day, the patrol boy that has that job, he is there holding us up, waiting for cars to come by so that he can stop them and then let us go across. Do you know there are people who think their whole job is to stop the world so they can see them? That's not our job. Our job is really to make sure in the traffic of life that those who can't get to the other side have a friend, have a fellowship, have a faith, have a relationship with you through Christ, that you're helping them get across the street not to see you, but to see Christ. That's what it's all about. Do people follow you so they can find Christ? It means what? Letting go self so that folk can see Christ in you. Not only denying, but it means taking up. That's really hard. It's more than just sacrifice. But sometimes there's pain, there's suffering, there's difficulty. There's always a sense that in that, you've got to take up the things that are important, the priorities of Christ. That really means preaching good news. That really means setting free those who find themselves in prison. It means letting go of those things and helping those who need food for the hungry, those who are lost, who do not know the Lord. It means taking that mission statement you got and helping to make disciples in a way of taking up something that really costs you something. If your religion here and your responsibilities here is comfortable, then you're not really with Jesus. You ought to be doing something risky. You should be doing something that really causes you every now and then to have to stay up all night. Anybody doing that right now in your job? Something that causes you to sometimes think about, what is it I really got to work on, because this is difficult, it's painful to do. Every now and then, it's looking at what is it we take up in the life of Christ. We don't have to bear the cross. The cross has already been bare. What we are to take up is the priority that Christ had, and that is to bring love and justice and peace and hope to a hurting world. I was with a church that found itself at a point where it was arguing over its priorities. I had been called in as a district superintendent to deal with issues. You don't know that superintendents do that all the time, right? And as I was coming, this particular argument dealt with who put too much communion juice in the cups? He had argued at a previous ad council to determine who was it that did it. And they were fighting 2 hours to go after whoever did it. So what did I do? I came very carefully, thinking how they lost their sight of priorities. And I brought, yes, communion juice and bread, and I filled it to the top so that they'd spill it the minute they picked it up. And I said to them, friends, you need to reconcile right now, because this is not the most important thing to take up for Christ. Your most important piece to take up is to make sure that those who have no acceptance, who feel like they're lost, who feel like no one cares about them, who does not love them, to help them get to that sense of knowing they're loved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that I hope it spills all over you. To the point that a little Christ spills on you. Sometimes we just go through the motions of church. Fan stuff with communion. But communion really is about taking up the body and blood of Christ that others might know that Christ. I asked you, where are your priorities? What are you taking up in your own ministry as young people, as adults? As leaders of the church, hopefully it is not to argue over how much juice, but to make sure folk get some juice and get some bread. And then ultimately it means to follow, deny, take up, and follow. It means to serve. And everybody in here has a ministry. Everybody is invited to serve. The discipline says each one of you is a minister, by the way. And in that, it is not the task of one person, it's everybody. And so it is not to be served, it is to serve. Following is following Christ as servants. That's what he was telling the disciples. Come on, come on, let's go as my servants. I was doing an evaluation with a pastor who had come in with tears, and I couldn't believe how she just looked joyful but tearful. And I'd ask her, well, what's going on? She said, well, I tell you, earlier today, a couple of members that I went by to see a member who had lost her spouse. And in that moment of the spouse being lost, we just went back on the journey of the two of them were so faithful to the church, but the last 2 years, one has been sick with cancer and slowly died. And we've been coming, giving communion once a month to them. And we just were just concerned and hurt once she had died, and wondering if, in fact, that last one, who now some 50 years of marriage, would be able to continue to make it. And as they went to visit, they were greeted at the door with this wonderful husband who found himself with such a smile on his face as they went to visit him with two other people. And they said, we're so glad you're doing, we're glad you're handling this grief, we're glad you're getting through this. And he said, well, why wouldn't I? Said, come to my kitchen. They didn't know what was going on. They went to the kitchen. They opened up the cupboard, and there was the communion cup of every month they had been there for 2 years. He had never thrown it away. He said, every time I get sad, every time I cry up, every time I think about what the church means to me, I when I think about every day of sometimes going up and going down, I realize I open the cabinet and I'm reminded that's how many times the church came and said, I'm somebody. The church came and said, it's all right to grieve. It's all right to be hurt. It's all right to be broken. It's all right to know that sometimes things don't go the way you want it to, and there's some things you cannot fix in life. But the one thing you can do is you can have the love of Christ that helps you move through life's crises. And that comes through the team. Because ultimately the joy was not only the fact that the pastor had come, but while the pastor had come one Sunday, then the other two had been coming other Sundays. They had been going bringing food. They had been going praying for them. They had gone and served them in ways that that's the servant I'm talking about. It's not those who sit as a fan inside, but it's the followers who take the good news of Jesus Christ to the world outside. That's what it's all about. My wife, every 2 years, takes me to an annual dress-up event. It's to give scholarships to young, deserving ladies who need scholarship in most depressed communities. And so we put on these outfits, and I know at the end there's going to be a formal dance. I'm not excited about that part. But my wife feels like she's on the committee that she's got to lead out, and she'll say, come on, Cody, let's go. And I'm saying, no, let's wait. Don't you remember how I hurt your feet last year? Come on, let's wait for a few people to come first. You know, probably Eric and Jamie could do that better than we could. Come on now. Justin could do that. Sure. Paul, somebody else, surely. Cliff, come on. He can get this going. And she reminds me every time we get going, she says, look, I'm going to help you. If you will just let me lead, and you follow, we'll make it. Well, that's the message today. In the dance of life, as the followers of Christ, you are invited to be not a fan, but a follower with a dance. Denying, taking up, and letting Jesus lead. Oh, it's a great dance. It's a powerful dance. It's a dance of life, a dance of hope, and a joy. And everybody in here, you ought to just dance. Are you a fan? Are you a follower? I want to see you dance.